Hey Visual Preachers, it's Steve Thomason, and I have another great interview for you on this video and podcast. I'm interviewing Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis. She is professor of biblical preaching at Luther Seminary, and she's awesome. In this interview, she really opens my eyes, pun intended, to the use of visuals, and the purpose of preaching is really that we would see Jesus, that the Word become flesh and embodied in our performative act of preaching. It's such a good interview. I learned a ton. I hope you'll enjoy. Reverend Dr. Caroline Lewis, thanks for being on the podcast and having chatting with me.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Steve. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. So, you are the Marbury E. Anderson Chair of Biblical Preaching at Luther Seminary.
I am.
What does that mean?
That means that a very generous donor has supplemented this position.
Oh.
But Marbury E. Anderson was a longtime pastor and is still living, and His children wanted to carry on his memory at Luther, and so they endowed this chair. So that's the chair I hold, and it's the designation of biblical preaching I take really seriously. That's it's not the Marbury E. Anderson Chair in Homiletics. It's the Marbury E. Anderson Chair in Biblical Preaching. So I really am dedicated to holding those aspects of preaching together, that we do preach biblical texts. And so that's what I teach, biblical preaching. And I really emphasize the way in which the biblical texts are lenses through which we interpret God's activity in the world. So that's I feel very excited about that reality of what I do. So
that's cool. So that kind of reframes my first question to you, because this conversation is part of Visual Preacher, which is, I'm a preacher and I'm writing a book for preachers.
Yeah.
And so probably preachers are going to listen to this, right?
Yeah, right, right.
So what's the difference from your perspective as a professor? You are a great preacher and you are a pastor and you are a professor who teaches pastors how to be preachers.
Right, right.
What's the difference between homiletics and biblical preaching?
Mm.
From your perspective?
Mm. Yeah, well, homiletics is, the formal discipline of preaching in terms of its history, theory, which is all interesting to know and fascinating to know, in terms of how, in particular, how you see the ways in which preaching has evolved and the ways in which it's taken on different ways of understanding itself. What was preaching back in the day and what is it now? And so an awareness of that history and those, I think, theoretical developments are important, but at the end of the day, they are in service to, at least this is how I think about it for what I do in terms of teaching preachers who are, going to be in parishes actually preaching, is that how is it that homiletical history or that homiletical theory makes a difference for how they think about what they do. And so I have to translate that, Like I have to, it's not just history for history's sake, but this is why knowing this history matters for understanding the vocation of a preacher. Mm-hmm. So that perspective is always in service to, at the end of the day, you have to preach a text and essentially convince people, or show people, I should say, that this text matters for how you understand yourself, how you understand yourself as a believer, and how you interpret the activity of God in the world. And so, and that's where the rubber hits the road, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So if I were sitting in your class and I was a young, aspiring preacher, in a nutshell, what would you say is the purpose of preaching? Or did you just answer that in what you just said?
I think, you know, Janet Childers has this book called The Purposes of Preaching. So I use that. I'm just going to reference that as a caveat, because I think the responsible, authentic preacher recognizes that preaching has different kinds of purposes, depending on the context, right? So sometimes your congregation, the purpose needs to be comfort and consoling. Sometimes it needs to be disruptive. Sometimes it needs to be awakening the congregation to realities in the world. You know, sometimes it's a corrective when you're preaching a text that's been historically misinterpreted. Mm. So I think it has a lot of purposes. Mm-hmm. But I am fully committed to the fact that I think the fundamental purpose of preaching is to preach the gospel. And what I mean by gospel is this. The definition of gospel, when you go back to particularly the Old Testament, the definition of the gospel is your God is here.
Mm.
That's Isaiah 40. That's Isaiah 52. The sentinel goes to the front and, you know, this Babylonian captivity comes back and says, you know, the one who preaches the good news is the literal Greek there. And the one who preaches the good news says, your God is here. And so that's what preaching does. It's like, your God is here right in front of you. It's an encounter. It's a, and it's an actual experience of God. And in the case of Christian preaching, of the risen Christ. And so it's always for the goal of John 20, Mary Magdalene, who doesn't go back to the disciples and say, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. She says, I have seen the Lord.
Mm.
So that, you know, that when people are meeting you at the back of the church after your sermon, the ideal response, when you know the purpose of preaching really has happened, is when somebody says, I saw the Lord.
Wow. That's beautiful. I'm so glad we recorded that. Oh. Yeah, that's excellent. So it's funny that, not funny, it's great that you went to John, because I know that that's your expertise.
I kind of like
You've
John.
Kind of written some books about John and kind of geeked out about John.
Yeah.
So that's cool. In preaching, I'm just curious about like your story of how you came to preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just tell us?
It's a long, fascinating journey. No, I'm kidding. No, I'll try to condense it. Well, I'm a PK, you know, preacher's kid, okay. Double PK. So when you are a PK, you swear two things. You will never be a pastor, nor will you ever marry one. And of course, both of which I did. But so I went to my undergrad was in violin performance. I was going to be a violinist. I was a violinist, and so that's what I thought my life was going to be. And realized pretty quickly that that life was not really vocationally fulfilling. Mm-hmm. A lot of practice time in a room by yourself for 8 to 12 hours a day. And so I took a year off between college or after college, and basically went to seminary with this, Steve. I think I want to do something in the church. That's it. That's like all I had going for me.
Wow.
My mom was at the seminary at the time. My sister was going to go to seminary. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go to seminary. You know, it was just like, I didn't know if I wanted to be a preacher or a pastor, but this is going to sound totally geeky, but it's totally true. My first day in New Testament Greek, I was like in heaven. It was like the coolest thing ever.
I can relate to that.
and then it just kind of snowballed into, maybe you should do advanced work and New Testament. And and so then went through seminary and applied to graduate schools, and that's what I ended up doing at Emory. But at Emory, you could have a minor, and my minor was preaching. And I get this question a lot, like, why, if you're a New Testament scholar, are you teaching preaching? And it's because, now that I reflect on it, this is where my violin comes in, because preaching is a performance. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is a musical piece has not reached its fullest expression until the instrumentalist, the musician, has spent a lot of time interpreting that text and performs it. That's the ultimate, right, reality of that piece. And it's an interpretation for a particular time and place, and it can never be repeated again. That's what preaching is. That's what I love. I love that the interpretation of texts that I do or that I teach don't land in a journal somewhere for like three people to read, but that get embodied. They're performed. They are brought to their completion. And I think that that's what a sermon is. It's like, it's an interpretation of a text that that then gets, you know, incarnated in the body of Christ for a particular time and place and purpose and people, which can never be repeated again. Mm-hmm. And that's why I teach preaching.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that's...
So when you put it that way, which I love, is very beautiful. I love the idea of preaching as like violin performance. How do you feel about recording sermons and putting them on a website, you know, so that they live in perpetuity?
You know, the thing is that there's a lot of CDs of orchestral performances, and
right, that's good analogy. And,
you know, Itzhak Perlman records the, you know, the Paganini, or, you know, the Brahms violin concerto or whatever. And so I liken it to that. You know, it's like it's a way of capturing a moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way you need to think about it. You know, sometimes people get pretty sort of rigid about that, like Mark Allen Powell says that, like, he has a story of somebody asked him if they could get a copy of a sermon that he preached on a Sunday morning. And he said, no, because my sermon is not on a piece of paper. My sermon happened. It's an event. And it is an event. That I totally believe that. But at the same time, I have a bajillion CDs of recordings that are capturing moments in time. And so, you know, I don't get to hear Isaac Stern, for example, play the Beethoven violin concerto, but I can because of that CD. Mm-hmm. Or you know, my dad's a huge opera buff, and so he is like, I have this recording of Leontine Price and so on and so forth, and this opera and 1952 and La Scala. You know, I mean, it's. I think when you can celebrate the event, you know, and say that this was a moment in time that's captured, mm-hmm. then I like that. That makes sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And yeah. And I'm just wondering too, if this is going to bleed into our actual topic of visuals, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's this digital presence. Mm-hmm. That's one way of doing visuals is digital, but I'm wondering if the recording of a sermon that might live in a digital space, like let's say, you know, your sermon's online and then someone from Argentina comes across it,
yeah,
and listens to it, that is also an event.
Yes, yes.
Where they encounter the Word of God through your recorded sermon.
Right.
And the Spirit has this space to work.
Yeah, once again.
Just another event.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So yeah. The purpose of this interview and my whole string of interviews is because I'm wanting to learn more about using visuals in preaching, mm-hmm. Since that's the task of the book. And it's just a great excuse to talk to great people and learn stuff. So using visuals in preaching, first of all, why do you think that might be a helpful thing?
Uh-huh.
And why, and what might be some dangers around it?
Uh-huh. Well, my litmus test for anything that you use in a sermon or in the preaching event is always, is it in service to the focus? Mm-hmm. That's always that's the main criterion. If you're using a visual or a prop or a clip or an illustration or a story, whatever, in a sermon, the main criterion is, does it actually serve your focus? That is your main point of your sermon or your core affirmation of the sermon. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then why is it there? Whether it's a visual or whatever, that's always my, mm-hmm. that's always my test, right? Mm-hmm. So there might be, you know, there might be an amazing visual or story, or, you know, I'm like, oh, this is great, a great idea for a prop I have. But if it, at the end of the day, if it's more of a distraction or a, you know, detracting from the point, then I'm going to eliminate it. So that's always my thing. At the same time, though, I think and it'd be interesting to hear like how you define what a visual is. But the first thing that I go to is something along the lines of having, say, an artist's depiction of a particular moment in a biblical story, where it allows people to see the ways in which there are moments in a biblical text that can get illuminated, and that moment might be extraordinarily brief, right? I mean, like two lines or like one word, mm-hmm. that can all of a sudden just like, you know, because of that visual. And I think that's really powerful for people to see that, you know, because I think a lot of people come to biblical texts or to sermons and they sort of expect a summary of the text, or you're going to explain it to me, that the sermon is going to like touch everything about the text, and that's not what it's supposed to do. Right. So a visual is this like lens through which you can see like a moment in that text, and then that moment becomes this like perspective into how God is at work or whatever that just blows people's minds.
So that's an example of that? Have you?
Well, yeah, I mean, like something like, well, at Luther Seminary, for example, we have the largest collection of artwork on the prodigal son. And that's fascinating because you look at these different pieces and artists' renditions or interpretations of the text, and what they choose to highlight in that story, then is an interpretive move, right? So, is the primary focus on the reunion of the father and the son? Is the primary focus on the prodigal son amidst the pigs? Is the primary focus on the older brother, you know, where he has like the, you know, he's like the main focal point of the painting or whatever. And what's happening between the son and the dad is in the background. And so all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the prodigal son with the pigs, or you read that, but you didn't see it.
So as a preacher, you're discerning which image will help frame the listener.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
So in that example, you have all of this great library of images.
Right.
And as you choose one of those images, you are, you're like the eye doctor changing the lens.
Yes.
Of how you're seeing.
Right. It's the perspective or I like to think of like a kaleidoscope, you know, you like twist
those kaleidoscopes,
right? Like you twist ever so slightly and all of a sudden there's these like prisms of light that you just, you know, yeah. So it's a way to enter into the text that is visually stimulating, but it also, it's an interpretive move off of which you can build an entire sermon.
Sure.
So that's what it ends up being for me.
Yeah, that's cool. So you asked a question earlier, like, how do you define visual?
Yeah.
I'll ask you that question. How do you, if we're talking about using visuals in preaching, how would you want to define that term?
I think I would define it in how when you're allowed to visualize, or when you're given, you know, an opportunity to visualize a certain aspect of a text, the first thing I really think of is illustration. But I don't mean illustration in like example or application. I mean, like literally illustration, like when I would read to my boys when they were little, and we'd say, okay, here's the author is so-and-so, and the illustrator is so-and-so, that they're, you know, they're putting pictures to a concept that the mind doesn't quite maybe get, but that the eye it's a sensorial experience. So visual for me has to be sensorial, right? It has to have this sense of perspective, like creating a particular kind of perspective or way of seeing an aspect of a text that, you know, that either you didn't see before, or all of a sudden it just puts it either puts the activity of God into a different perspective, or it puts, you know, the interpretation of the passage. But but that's what I think I mean by visual. And that, you know, and that could be like a literal visual, like for me anyway, it can be like literally some sort of piece of art that's interpretive of the text, or how is it that you build an image in a sermon that is highly, you know, visual or illustrative? Or
what do you mean, build an image?
Like for example, okay, so Jesus is the good shepherd. Okay, so how do you, like, what does that really mean? So how do you build that whole sort of sense of shepherd that you create, you're actually able to see it. And so, so you do something like, well, I use the topic of a word hoard, right? So shepherd, so you get shepherd, sheep, pasture, crook, you all this vocabulary, like, and building and building what this might look like. So people can actually see and experience Jesus as shepherd, and it's not like explaining Jesus as shepherd. That's so what I mean.
When you say a word hoard, you mean like those word clouds?
Yeah.
That, and you would project that or have a big poster with that on it. Is that
you could do that. Yeah, you could do that. I mean, like one example I think of is like, I always show in my class, Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Mm-hmm. And he's brilliant at this. And like the first part of that speech, he's talking about that America has defaulted on its check to the African American people, and the check has come back marked insufficient funds. And so he does this, like, he has vault, bank, check, insufficient funds, mm-hmm. security, you know. So it's like with that vocabulary, you're creating a visual and an experience. Does that make sense? And not just like
it does. So it's, but it's all it, so here's the interesting thing. He's creating a word picture.
Yeah.
So is that auditory or is it visual?
In his case, it's auditory. But I think that's the question, right? I mean, in terms of defining visual preaching,
right?
You know, or visuals in preaching, do you have to see something, or does the preacher create something to see that's in your mind?
Yeah, I love that, because that's a whole nother aspect. So let's say a person does not have the gift of physical sight.
Yeah.
A person
yeah.
is physically right. blind.
Right.
We could still have a visual sermon for them.
That's right. That's
if,
right.
If through the craft of words and rhetoric, right, we're yes. able to paint a picture.
Yes.
With words.
Yes.
That they can project inside of their own mind.
Yes, right, right.
That's poetry.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
What do you think might, now I'm going to talk about like physically using a visual, like you've,
yeah.
And I know that there's different ways you can use visuals. You can use a prop.
Yeah.
Hold something in your hand. You can project a picture on the screen.
Right.
What might be some dangers of doing that, or some traps that a preacher could fall into?
I think the one is if you do that for every single sermon,
mm-hmm.
like it, because then it becomes, to what extent it becomes, you know, for lack of a better term, a trope, if you will, you know, and it's like, oh, that preacher always has a prop, or that preacher always has a, you know, regardless of whether or not it's fitting or it's appropriate, it's always going to be there. So I think that's one danger is like, do you have to have, or do you need to do that every single sermon or not? So I think that's one. I don't know. I think maybe the other, although I'm not, this is just kind of off the top of my head, but I think, you know, one of the things about preaching is that it is really, really, really hard to listen. Like, I don't know if we know as preachers how difficult it is for people to sit there and listen to you for, I'm sure not you, but like, you know, I mean, it's a huge challenge to listen to somebody.
My children would say it's hard.
I think mine would too. And that, you know, in the statistics of public speaking, actually your audience, while you are speaking, this is like while you're actually talking, they are only incorporating or able to hear 65% of what you say.
Wow.
So where is that 35% going? You know, and so I think one of the, you know, maybe potential downsides of a visual is that how much does that take away from the 65%? You know what I mean? Like, it did, could that take away? I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but that's like one, one answer I would have from that. Does it move them to a different kind of place that then, you know, to bring them back into the, activity of listening makes it more difficult? I don't know. That's one thing I think about though.
That's good. And I think that has to do with if the visual conflicts with what you're saying.
Yes.
Then it's distracting.
Right.
But if the visual is in sync with what you're saying, then I think it helps them retain more.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're hitting multiple senses.
That's right.
The multi-sensory learning.
That's right. That's right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, a little shift of gears.
Yeah.
Thinking about this specific book, what would you want to make sure that this book on using visuals in preaching addresses for the working preacher out there? This is your chance to give me advice, like, don't miss this.
Oh, I think the working preacher would really appreciate extraordinary specificity in like, okay, that all sound, I mean, I love the theoretical, like, or the theological. I think offering sort of a theological argument for visuals would be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not just doing this on a practical level, but actually there's something about how God works in the world that demands this aspect of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you locate that in the incarnation, you know, or the actual experiential reality of God in the world through Jesus, but I think saying, yeah, this is not just like a new trick, but and I'm not saying that it is, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's not just a technique, but it's, there's something theologically at stake about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then now at the same time, I think, like what you just said, an example like that of, all right, here's where this would be a bad use of an image, mm-hmm. where you're talking about this and you're just putting up an image to put up an image, mm-hmm. for something, you know, to keep people awake, or, you know, if it doesn't, then, you know, correspond to whatever point you're making or whatever, then that's hugely problematic. So I think, and I suspect that line could be pretty thin. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they think it's illustrating the point, but actually it's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. I have an image on, you know, the prodigal son, but it's actually completely opposite from the angle that they're taking.
Right.
So I think it's some way to articulate or navigate that space where it's not just having an image for the, you know, image sake, but this is really, it really is illustrating
mm-hmm.
your point. Right. It really is. And I think people need help with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any, I'd love to hear stories of how you've used images and you think it went well, and then maybe how you used images and it didn't go well. Would you be willing to share a story or two?
Well, in all honesty, Steve, I don't use them very often.
Really?
Yeah. I use more oral images, that is, you know, like speaking images.
You're a musician.
Than an actual picture or something like that. I probably do more of the pictures or paintings or whatever in my speaking than I do in my preaching.
Tell me the difference. Preaching. When do you speak and when is it not preaching?
Oh, when I'm doing like a lecture or a presentation, you know, I'm basically, you know, putting out material or making an argument, and I have a PowerPoint, and so, you know, you put up but I've become far more aware when images are so much more available, and you know, the ubiquity, like, you really have to pick carefully. You have to choose carefully what image you're going to use.
Yeah.
Because people are really drawn to them. You know, they're like, wow, I noticed that, like, you know, talking about the Samaritan woman at the well, for example, like, oh, wow, you have a depiction of the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus from an African artist. So that's very different than how we, so how does that illustrate, for example, that, you know, that the reason Jesus goes to Samaria is because God loves the world. Mm-hmm. And so not just like the little circle around, you know, Jesus, but the world. And so it's that kind of thing. Like, I think that works really well. But I've also had, you know, moments where, you know, people have come up to me and said, did you really mean to use that image? Like, you know,
the specificity of that story would be wonderful.
Yeah. Like, I remember somebody coming up to me once, and, I did some lecture on preaching, and I think I was talking about the necessity of context, like how important context is. And that, you know, your word is landing on like real people, and how you have to exegete your context and congregation, whatever. And I think one of my pictures on my slide was empty pews. And they're like, why did you have empty pews when you're talking about the specificity of, did you mean to do that? I'm like, oh crap, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I thought the pews were pretty, you know.
That's a wonderful example, though.
Yeah.
Because that's a great example of how the image is speaking something to the congregation.
It is.
That is actually conflicting with your spoken word.
Yes.
And they're trying to put those two things together.
They are. Yeah.
And they're going to read something into that.
Absolutely.
A position that you never intended. So exactly. I'm glad you remembered that story, because I think that's an excellent example. So one last question.
Yeah.
Before we go, actually this could go into something deeper, but I just got fascinated when you contrasted your speaking from your preaching. That kind of goes back to the very first question I asked, which was, what is preaching?
Yeah.
And because a lot of the research that I'm doing right now, there is, like, in Presentation Zen,
yes,
Slideology, and
right,
there's a lot of really rich material out there about creating compelling stories for essentially just corporate presentations.
Correct.
And you using, you know, is it right for us? Is it good for us to think about using those methods for preaching.
Mm.
Because like when you're in a classroom and you're conveying, or you're at an academic conference and you're giving a presentation, is that a different space, or is it really the same as far as you're standing in front of a group of people and you're telling a story?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the same. I think that the distinction, the distinction I always make between preaching and a presentation is is really whether or not the presence of God was felt and experienced. And I do tell my preaching students that they're so inclined to use like whatever prop they think they need. Or you know this, right? Like preachers who like, here's the biblical text, but then they tell like five stories in their sermons or whatever. And what that gets communicated is that the biblical story itself cannot sustain extended reflection.
Yep.
So I tend to be of the camp that that the way in which you that how we imagine the difference between, you know, a sermon and a presentation is really is how you're bringing God, leading God out of this text for people to, you know, I go back to like John 12:21, sir, we wish to see Jesus. I mean, that's that, and I don't know that in my presentations, that's my goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's talking about God or talking about theology or talking about preaching. But at the end of the day, I think the preaching event is, has to be an actual experience of the Word made flesh. It is Mary Magdalene. It has to be, I have seen the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's really the fundamental difference for me, between preaching and because the logos, our logos or our word, right? In ancient rhetoric, logos was the material, or the subject matter that the rhetorician was communicating, right? But in preaching, our logos became flesh. So if a sermon doesn't, it doesn't create this embodied encounter with Jesus, then I don't think it's a sermon.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a wonderful place to end our conversation, because you may have just either created a chapter title or the title of the book, right?
Ooh.
Sir, I wish to see Jesus.
Oh, gosh, Steve, that would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Right. Maybe there. Not the sir part, but I wish to see Jesus.
Yes.
And because I know you helped us at the congregation I served when we were preaching through the Gospel of John.
Yeah, yeah.
And we titled the series Come and See.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. So
that's what preaching is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow. Caroline, yeah. I'm so thankful for this time. I've learned a ton.
Oh.
And I look forward to
meet you.
Hey, Visual Preacher community, it's Steve Thomason, and I've got another great interview for you here on the podcast and the YouTube's channel. So today I'm interviewing the Reverend Dr. Rolf Jacobson. Rolf is a Lutheran pastor. He is a professor of Old Testament at Luther Seminary, and he is one of the key players in workingpreacher.org. Oh yeah, the source itself. And so I thought, since I'm writing this book for Working Preacher book series, this would be great to talk to somebody that's actually on the inside of Working Preacher. And so we talk about Working Preacher a little bit in this interview, and then I ask Rolf some questions from a Lutheran preacher's perspective about using visuals in preaching. He's got some great insights into how Luther himself used visuals. So check it out. Listen to this interview. Enjoy. And if you like what we're doing here at visualpreacher.com and you'd like to help be part of this conversation, to help me do the research and to write the best book I can possibly write about using visuals in preaching, I hope that you'll like, you'll share, you'll subscribe, join the conversation. All right, enjoy the interview.